Today, President Obama will underscore some of the deep contradictions that run through our history as a nation of immigrants, a national success story like no other, and a nation still troubled by unresolved issues of race and intolerance. Among the 17 Americans being awarded the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom today, is a living relative of a man who stood up after Pearl Harbor to fight laws singling out Japanese Americans for curfews, detention, and surveillance. He was Minoru Yasui, who on March 28, 1942, just a few months after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, he walked into a Portland police station and demanded to be arrested for breaking the city's curfew for Japanese Americans.
What we were looking for, really, was an ideal case, a young ex-GI who'd been honorably discharged, married, because we wanted to create sympathy. But at that time, knowing the uncertainties, I could scarcely blame anyone for refusing to go ahead and deliberately violate the law. And it seemed to me that someone had to do it, and the ultimate choice became, since nobody else would do it, I did.
Minoru Yasui speaking with filmmaker Stephen Okazaki for a documentary that was produced in 1984. Yasui died in 1986, 2 years before President Reagan issued a formal apology for Japanese internment during World War II. Today, President Obama honors his legacy with a posthumous Medal of Freedom. Robin Yasui is Minoru Yasui's niece. She's in Washington to attend the Presidential Medal of Freedom ceremony on behalf of her uncle. Robin, welcome to The Takeaway, and how are you feeling?
Very excited, a long overdue honor, and we're very honored to be here in Washington on Uncle Min Yasui's behalf.
Tell me about your uncle's case and why he decided to challenge the laws that were in place during World War II. And in his particular case, he challenged a curfew, right?
That's correct. After the atrocious bombing of Pearl Harbor, Japanese immigrants and Japanese American U.S. citizens were suddenly considered to be potential enemy aliens and demonized as a threat to American security. And although it was a time of war hysteria and fear, understandably, our nation seemed to forget that most of us came to this country as immigrants, refugees, and asylees. And the public and the government let very irrational racial profiling and xenophobia run wild. Their answer to the bombing of Pearl Harbor was to label a subset of innocent immigrants and citizens of Japanese ancestry as a threat and lock them up in internment camps across the West. But the first major step towards this mass incarceration of Japanese American U.S. citizens was a curfew. So here's Min, this idealistic 25-year-old lawyer who fervently, passionately believed in the law and justice of the land, who saw the writing on the wall, and he felt that a curfew on a subset of citizens based solely on race was blatantly unconstitutional and that he needed to confront the government in the courts of law. So he violated that curfew in order to serve as a test case and challenge its constitutionality.
Now, his case went all the way to the Supreme Court.
It did, and he sat in solitary confinement in a 6-by-8-foot cell for 9 months waiting for the Supreme Court to rule on his case. And sadly, the Supreme Court sided with the government. Min lost his case, and after 9 months in solitary confinement, he went on to be interned in Minidoka camp.
How much of a betrayal was that for him?
Well, what's amazing is, in spite of all that, Min was just undaunted. He never stopped believing that the U.S. judicial system and the U.S. Constitution's protection of civil rights would win out in the end. And he knew that someday the courts would vindicate him and acknowledge that the curfew and internment of Japanese American citizens was an unjustified violation of constitutional rights, just driven by racial prejudice, wartime hysteria, and a failure of political leadership.
But is it that? I mean, you know, President Obama says it's not who we are when we talk about singling people out by religion or ethnicity, sounding very much like your uncle. But yet, if you look at the historical record, it kind of is who we are. I mean, we make this mistake over and over again.
And this was Min's point. Min was very clear. This was never about him. It was never about just Japanese Americans. This was, and I want to quote him, this to me says everything that was going through this man's mind at age 25, at age 75. If we believe in America, if we believe in equal democracy, if we believe in law and justice, then each one of us, when we see or believe such errors are being made, have an obligation to make every effort to correct such mistakes.
Wow. It sounds like you carry that responsibility with you.
Absolutely. I think our family does. I think the Japanese-American community does. And it's something we hope to pass on to the next generation so they understand these hard-fought gains are something to still be vigilantly protected and cared about and spoken out about.
How do you feel about this current discussion about Syrian refugees and the vote in the House of Representatives?
Oh, my goodness. I think today the Japanese-American citizenry across the U.S. is listening in total disbelief as we hear echoes of this same irrational rhetoric launched against innocent Syrian refugees trying desperately to flee their war-torn country. And we listen to government officials and politicians fanning these flames of racial, ethnic, and religious profiling while they're trying to slam the door shut on people fleeing the same terrorists we're opposing. And thankfully, I hope that in 2015, there are calmer, rational voices of reason and compassion, both in the government and the public, who will come together to drown out those ugly voices and open America's doors again. And if Minya Suy were here today, he'd be leading the fight to push those doors open.
Is it the case that his conviction on curfew violation was never overturned?
You know, it's so interesting. What he really wanted was not only that personal vindication, but more than that, he wanted the U.S. government to not only apologize, but to acknowledge that this was an unconstitutional move. That is the only way to prevent it from happening again. And that, I can't say, has happened to the degree we had hoped it would. But this is certainly a major step in that direction, the recognition of his work and the value that this medal bestows upon that work.
What do you think Obama's going to say to you? What will you say to him?
Well, I think that the company in which Min is being honored and his legacy is being honored, there's so much diversity, there's so much richness, and we're just thrilled that in Obama's time, this award has come to him. I think that's incredibly appropriate as well.
Robin Yasui, have a wonderful day, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you so very much.
Robin Yasui is the niece of Minoru Yasui, who will be accepting the Presidential Medal of Freedom on behalf of her uncle today at the White House.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.